Hello, this is Audio Berkman, and this is Daniel Krawczyk, and I'm sitting here with Jay Dedman, who from MomentShowing.net, FireAnt TV, the video blogger Yahoo Group, and formerly of MNN, the Access Center in Manhattan, and also with Jason Crow from Media Policy Blog and CCTV in Cambridge, who covered this event and were active participants in the conference. And myself, I was until recently at a public access station in Lowell, Massachusetts. So three of us are just going to have a short conversation about where participatory media, the internet, and community television collide. And I'm going to pass it over to Jay.
Hey, Daniel. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize the enormous wealth of its resources that public access television has in this country. I mean, there's so much, it's money that they control. And, you know, they have such a brilliant game plan as well to, you know, help people become a part of its media. And it's really, in my mind, been kind of a failed experiment in its many cases. And it's really under threat right now without a lot of support from the community. And interestingly enough, at this moment, there's so much going on with the whole Web 2.0 space, which is kind of doing what public access was supposed to do. So here we are at this conference, and I really think that it's just too bad that public access television wasn't more involved in the conversation.
Well, I think Jay brings up a good point, Daniel, that community media, community television has always been there for communities from the beginning, empowering citizens to use media to promote free speech, to become active participants in their civic government, to showcase local cultural talents. I mean, community media centers have provided this sort of participatory culture for years and years, providing the training and the tools and the transmission necessary. However, the challenge that we're facing now is that the new tools available to citizens via the internet and cheap production tools are creating this environment where community media centers no longer are the only place to find these tools and to use these things. Yeah. So what we're going to need to do in the future is move beyond traditional cable television broadcasts, beyond our traditional way of interacting with the community, and really become, you know, trusted aggregators of local relevant content, for instance, to bring up a buzzword we used here, and to also provide the training, because there still is a digital divide. There's still, room for improvement to increase the amount of people using these tools.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the fact that community television has been doing many of the things that are happening in participatory media for 30 years, because it was in fact the first real build out of a participatory media where anyone from the community could come and utilize the resources and broadcast to, you know, their community. And we have 30 years of this, and you see what you see now on public access is what's the result of 30 years of complete open free speech, democracy, first come, first serve, you get a time slot. And it doesn't matter if you're doing a show that's about your religion. It doesn't matter if you're doing a show about how aliens came down and probed you. It doesn't matter if you're doing a talk show where people are just calling up and swearing at you and right, making lewd suggestions. You can do anything you want to do. And now suddenly when this is being applied to the internet, I feel like we're going to see a lot of the stuff that happened with community television have to be dealt with in the internet. And I would like to see more dialogue about how those connect. And I feel that, you know, with individuals like Jay, who came out of this background leading a lot of new things happening in internet participatory media, there's a lot of knowledge that I feel that has gone to helping build things in a way that comes out of experience.
Yeah, I mean, having, you know, started with a very negative comment, I think the positive thing about public access is that, you know, here we're at this conference with mainly like a bunch of geeks talking about, well, how do we fund a lot of these projects? Well, public access has funding. You know, they get funding every year, and it's automatic from its local franchising. And if local public access stations were to embrace this new technology, they could fund a lot of these very inexpensive, very, you know, powerful enabling technologies. You know, like it's like blogging and it's video blogging and podcasting, like as we're doing now. It really just means that people in the public access sphere, they just got to just flip the switch a bit in their minds, you know, and just open up to these ideas. And I wish that they would become more a part of these conversations, because, like it just said, public access has a huge history of enabling people to share their voice. And they have a lot of experience. You know, a lot of it's negative and a lot of it's positive. And, you know, it would be a shame if, like, we have to relive this all over again. Like, if you see at YouTube, it's public access TV. It's just, like, a lot of ranting. It's a lot of stuff in the people's bedrooms. There's a lot of copyright stuff. I mean, you know, they're dealing with the same thing that we have dealt with. And I wish that there would be more conversation with that.
I think on that note, we can wrap this conversation up. But I guess the one thing I'd like to add is that we do face challenges in the next year or two, not only from getting the public access community to embrace new technologies, to embrace new methodologies of distribution in an open and supportive manner, including putting resources into these projects that will shape the way people communicate in the future, and use public access as an incubator to make these technologies that are being developed for commercial purposes, you know, to share, you know, YouTube is making lots of money, I'm sure, you know, figure out what they're doing the best, figure out what current TV is doing the best, and apply it to democratic, you know, not-for-profit purposes, so that suddenly, you know, civic space is more than just a tool. It ends up, you know, providing maybe, let's say, an infrastructure for best practices to engage people in civic dialogue in communities, you know, around elections. So we do have some challenges, and we have some legislative challenges, but I think the future is going to be interesting.
Well, I think we're all in agreement on that note. So thank you once again for listening. This is Audio Berkman, and I'm Daniel Krawczyk, and I was here with Jay Dedman and Jason Crowe.